This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Rangers knocking off the A's 15-2. They got a big dub as, Bobby's throwing me under the bus with the mayor already. That's like, what we do.
I play to power. That's what I do.
Hey, that's smart. It's a smart poll as we're hanging out here in Anna. Firehouse Tour stop number 2 on the Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour, 305 South Bell Parkway. We're giving away Whataburger breakfast. The Firehouse Tour hats went really, really quick. We've got some other awesome giveaways for you if you're in the area. Anna, Blue Ridge, Prosper, Melissa, McKinney, Princeton, Salina. Heck, I came from Plano. Come on by. We'd love to see you.
Yeah, I saw we got Chris from Anna. I saw Efren from Princeton. He came up. Nick Harris's hood. That's where he's up from. We got a chance to talk to Zoe, who is she's actually going to be competing in state for the wheelchair Olympics.
And hell so, yes.
Let's down go. In
track.
Austin.
She's doing track out there. She's a 100-meter, I think, is what her dad said. So Zoe came out here. She said she's a big fan of Ask Reddit. That's the biggest.
Great
Tuesdays
segment.
At 7:40. That's when she's glued to the radio.
It's the best. It's the best segment of the day on the whole station.
The whole station. I agree. That and LA Live, man.
Yeah, I mean, top 10's eh.
But no, the top 10. No, I mean, look, we moved it to 220.
I mean, the top 10, though.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. Some are better than others. Some days it really leaking confidence like I am this entire morning. Zach Wolchuk just trying to keep this thing on the rails. In for Sean Sharif. He'll be back, I believe, next week. Paternity leave's finally
he
over.
He is back next week. And I'm sure he has a vacation coming up here.
Maybe.
See, I was telling Efren during the break. I was saying that like he's using up all this paternity and then probably creating more paternity for himself. You know what I mean? Like, I bet that's how he's doing. He's just creating an endless cycle of paternity.
It's all praise to Allah.
He just told us that. Just told us that was all.
Thank you, Pepe, and we love you, Sean. All right, Chop, our team's now wrestling power
Nick to be gone before
back
the
from the players. Yeah, Nick was staring me down for that Jihad Campbell question.
Noticed.
He's like, be very, very careful. Be very careful.
It's a touchy subject. Yeah, so our team's wrestling control. So we saw this week with Shador this week, right? You know, he dropped, and he dropped for no other reason than. It wasn't because of his ability.
Yeah, fell out of the first round potentially because of his ability.
Maybe the first round,
but where
not,
he was picked was not.
No, not commensurate
yeah.
with his talent level. He did a lot of things wrong in the process. He had a lot of missteps. There's rumors that he tanked some interviews on purpose because mm-hmm. he didn't want to go to those teams.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want to believe, but we'll never know the full story. The teams are going to have their story. Shador's camp is going to have his story, whatever it is. But we saw, we saw Nico walk away from Luka because he didn't like the way he.
Because he's dumb, basically.
Yeah, because he's dumb.
But
he also liked the way he carried himself. He didn't like the way he, trained.
Yeah, he wanted him to fall in line, basically.
Work ethic.
Yeah.
We saw in college football this year, Tennessee tell Nico Iamaliava, you know what? You're asked for more money, get out. We're not going to play this. So it made me think, like, these are all things that have happened in the last 2 months. Like, our team's trying to – because we have never seen a time in sports where it's been more player-empowered
yeah.
than it is right now. This is across all sports. And are we seeing that? Are we seeing teams try to say, hey, you know what? We're going to do what little we can to wrestle some power back.
Yeah, I think look, it was jarring for it's really funny to hear college coaches talk about players these days. Because college coaches used to talk in a very Nick Saban way across the board, and now you hear them all just go like, I don't blame the kid that they transferred or were, you know, illegally tampered.
Yeah, they're almost scared.
They're terrified because of the power that the players have, which was set up on their own because the NCAA refused to get ahead of this. They let a court ruling come in and just say, it's the Wild West. If you guys would have seen it coming and just accepted it and been able to craft it the way you wanted, you wouldn't have these issues. So, yeah, I think to go from the ultimate power in sports to having the rug pulled out from under you and you can't tell them a damn thing, then, yeah, I think that that's – you're going to see at some point a sort of an uprising. I think that that's definitely what's going on with Nico. They're trying to establish – at Tennessee, they were trying to establish culture and sort of things. Nico Harrison also, same sort of thing, I think he's doing that. Shador, I think more was just – he happened to offend too many people in the process. I don't know that it was a group like, let's take back power. I think he just offended too many decision makers along the way with just kind of a brash approach.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a great learning experience for the rest of the players that are going to be coming out in the NFL draft in the future. You know, Brian used the example of Michael Vick, sat with them in a meeting, and they had no chance of even drafting Michael Vick.
Didn't have a first-round pick.
He still ended up sitting there and handled the interview humbly and acted as if, yeah, maybe that is it. Because you never know. Maybe a team wants to move up and go get you. You just don't know. So for Shador to essentially sandbag interviews, and if you have a Kevin O'Connell of the Vikings or a head coach that wants to meet with you, and he looks over and says, like, oh, you've already got a quarterback, I'm not interested, it's just the way not to go about it.
The whole idea that somebody can't trade up for you. Like,
it's foolish.
He didn't even register with him that somebody could trade up?
It's not even that. It's Darren Lee, who got drafted by the Jets years ago out of Ohio State. He had very publicly said on Twitter, I think it was, how stupid he thought it was that the Cowboys wanted to interview him because they were picking 4th and 33 and they weren't going to be able to get him. And he was just like, I just remember sitting there through the whole interview with Jason Garrett being like, why are you talking to me? Blah, blah, blah. And he tweeted that. And like somebody told me later, they were like, that matters. Like when you're talking about his attitude right there, okay, well, that matters 4 years later when you hit free agency too. When you're on the open market, does a team's going to remember that interaction with you and how you handled it and whether they want to put up with you?
So remember his phone number got released in the prank call.
Right.
Adam Schefter was on McAfee yesterday and talked about how that whole thing happened. And this is another learning experience for players when it comes to how they get in and how they approach the draft. Here's Schefter.
I got a text on Sunday night that said, the Shador prank thing is awful, but shows their naivete by not hiring an agent. The fact that they had the league send his number to the entire football distribution list was such a mistake, one that wouldn't have happened with an agent who would have handled that communication. I've never seen the league share a draft prospect's number with the entire distribution list. As soon as I saw the email on Thursday of draft day, I was like, oh no. And the league probably shouldn't have disseminated it the way that they did, knowing it was ripe for abuse. So we have a situation here where usually an agent represents a player, and when the league is disseminating numbers, they list the agent as a point of contact with the agent's number. In this particular case, the league listed Shador Sanders' name and his number because he was self-represented.
So what happens?
Yeah.
These are the kind of problems that you can have crop up.
I still can't believe that's an actual thing.
The number being distributed that way?
But yeah, like that it goes to the entire league database.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, though. Like, you're going to need if anybody picks you, you're going to need instant access to that phone number. You can't just have people, like you've got to have a...
But you're scrambling.
Yeah, you've
got to... Hey, who's got the number?
You've got to be able to have a contact, like, for everybody across the board.
Right. No, I get that, but, like, give it to the GM and that's it.
Yeah, we don't need the entire, like, everybody.
Yeah, I feel like the GM, so generally it's going to be whoever the assistant is for the GM or just football administration people, and that naturally is going to be available to other individuals and accessed by other individuals the way those structures are set up.
Like, you know, I'm not gonna blame Shador for not having an agent. Right. You don't have an agent, you don't have that. It doesn't mean that just because you don't have an agent that your number should be given out. Like, obviously the pranksters get blamed, but... You know, the NFL and their protocols have to get
it shouldn't. Yeah, it shouldn't be a case where, I agree, just because he doesn't have an agent doesn't mean his phone number should be given out. Right. But I think, naturally what they're saying is him not having an agent creates more vulnerabilities for that issue.
Yeah, because the agent probably would have taken the call. And we've got other quarterbacks, like, what,
Jaden Daniels, his mom represents him. Lamar, I think, you know, self-represented. So, I don't know, maybe with quarterbacks, that's what's going to happen moving forward. We are joined now, Pete Kane, mayor of the city of Anna. Pete, thank you so much for having us out. This has been an incredible treat for us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate you guys making the trip up here. It's pretty proud of our station here and our new station across the road over there. So we're happy to see you guys today.
Now, I'm curious, we've had this fight before, RJ and I, in the air, and it is your job title. Do you pronounce your job title as if it rhymes with hair or rhymes with payer?
I would say hair.
Yeah, mayor. In your face. I told you it's mayor, not mayor.
Mayor.
I have no idea that I've ever said.
You fought with me over this, over mayor. You said that I said mayor incorrectly.
This up.
Taking sides this early on. I did not anticipate that.
I'll tell you this, because in Back to the Future, Goldie Wilson said mayor.
He did,
right?
Yeah.
So that's why I
he
think
did.
I went.
That's why
that,
he
would you consider yourself a strong mayor or a weak mayor?
it depends on what kind of aspect you're talking about there. Physically, I'm good.
Physically.
Well, so, I mean, you are, so I read up, you are a Marine veteran, Desert Storm Air. So I would assume strong, but does the Desert Storm Marine ever have to come out in city meetings? Like just, hey, I need to remind them who the Alpha is.
Only very occasionally. Okay. We're real fortunate up here. I've got a really good council, a bunch of good people. Everybody cares about the same thing, which is the people that live here in Anna. So they make it easy on me.
How long have you lived here?
We moved here in the 1900s.
So that's a long time.
You look great.
I mean, the
from the beginning.
The 1900s.
So when my family moved back to Dallas in 96, I was talking about this with Choppy earlier. I think the population of Anna was under 1,000 at that time.
Amazing.
And, I mean, you guys have exploded to the point where I think the last census, 2020, y'all were up to almost 17,000.
Well, yeah. So when we moved here in 99, just barely the 1900s, there was 1,200 people here. My baby sister graduated in 2002 from the high school with 35 other kids. Right now, we're easily pushing 30,000 people.
Wow.
So, and in 10 years, we'll be over 50, it looks like, pretty easily.
Man.
Ooh. Yeah. We're growing exponentially. Right now, we have two projects going. One on the east side that's going to bring in about 2,400 homes, custom homes, nice homes. One on the west side, it's the same kind of a mix with another, I think, 1,200. So,
have you given away a key to the city yet?
I gave a key to the city to Santa Claus.
Really?
That's right.
Really?
So he can get in whenever he needs to. It's kind of important. I was pressured by a bunch of short people.
Yeah.
But I went ahead and did
kids,
it anyway.
Right?
Yeah.
Kids, right.
That's the kids.
That's what I just want to clarify that one.
Very much so.
Oh, we are on the radio. Yeah, it was children.
Thank you. Yeah. Yep, the children. As we've got Pete Kane, your Anna mayor here with us.
Mayor.
The mayor on Sean RJ. What is like the prereqs to even get a key to the city? What are you going to do?
I asked the city manager if he'll let me have the key to the city.
That's it.
Simple as that.
What about like naming a street after somebody?
Now that goes back. That's a pretty good question. So naming a street or something like that, if a developer comes in and builds all their roads, they name those.
They name them.
When the city does it, we typically like to find someone that was historically a figure in the city to name it after. And a lot of times neighborhood services or parks and rec, if it's a park, they'll bring that to the city council. The city council will hear their presentation and vote on it, whether or not to do that.
You got here in 1999. How controversial, you were elected in May 2024?
Yes.
How controversial was it when during your campaign it came out that you used to live in California?
Not at all, because the reason I was in California is because I was in the Marine Corps. So.
Oh, see, there you go.
It was not a subject at all.
There's all the California transplants now, too. How much of Anna are you seeing? And I don't know if you know this. How much of Anna are you seeing that it's people moving from various places in the Metroplex come to Anna versus coming from out of state here?
You know, that's a good – I think probably moving from the Metroplex, we're looking at about 70-30 mix. 70% of the people are just coming north, and they're coming east. So 30% are coming from out of state, out of town. But I would say the majority of the people are from here. So
okay, so, Pete, if the three of us
mayor.
Over here
– It's mayor, fine. Mayor, Pete is fine.
Mayor Kane.
McCain.
If the three of us were to run against you, say, in the next election, which one do you think might give you the biggest run for your money?
Yeah, like who would intimidate you if you saw him coming on the ticket?
You're like, oh, no.
Just be like,
this guy.
Well, I think it's important to know how to pronounce mayor. So.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Or to not call the current mayor Pete.
That's absolutely my name, and you can certainly do that. It's not a problem.
That just shows I'm not intimidated by it.
There you go.
I don't know that I have the like I get too excited just like killing flies with like one of those zap rackets. So like power is like I know it's unsafe in my hands. I get too excited by it. Like I would if I was running for mayor in here, I would just take note of like who in my community has signs up for Mayor Pete or one of the other guys. Because you better hope I don't make it. Because if I win. Retribution is coming
was
for
there,
y'all.
Was there
property taxes are going up for y'all.
Was there was there sign mischief during the election?
Oh. Yeah, for my election there actually was.
A lot of sign mischief?
Just one bit of sign mischief. I had a sign out off of 75, and it had dirt drive going up to a fence. Put the sign on the fence. I knew the guy that owned the property. And I don't know, a couple of weeks before the election, someone got out there in the mud and just threw mud off their truck just – threw mud all over my sign and drove off. So,
but nobody like picked them up, like threw them away, trashed them.
No, people. I don't see that happen. So,
it's a nice.
It is. We don't want the sign.
There's not a whole lot of where I live, Roanoke. There's ruffians everywhere.
No, absolutely,
that's where they do that.
Okay, what do you think we could get around town? Like, if we were to drop, hey, we're besties with Mayor Kane.
Yeah. How much weight would that pull if we're we're at Salsa Tex-Mex? If we're like,
drop
hey, we know
name.
Mayor Pete, give us your best table. Like, would that get us like free queso or something?
Probably not. No, I don't think so. Sorry.
Oh man,
you can give it a shot and let me know though.
I will.
We might.
We're gonna do that.
Might.
We're gonna do that. The show's over.
Salsa is where I've been told to go to Salsa if I'm out here. So that's where I think I'd have to check out.
Yeah, my wife and her friends were there last night. So yeah, they closed it.
Well, thank you so much.
Maybe they have a table.
That's
maybe they have
you
a table.
You could drop their names. You'd be in business.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what we got to do. We really appreciate the time. Thank you very much for having us out. It's a beautiful facility. Anna is absolutely booming.
Yeah,
we appreciate you, sir.
Thank you, guys. Hey, can I plug one thing real
quick? Plug away.
So
plug away.
This Saturday, we're going to have the Anna Police Association versus the Fire Police Association in our second annual softball game. So it'll be 6 o'clock here at our softball
field. Who are you rooting for?
The teams.
Who's favored? Who's favored?
The
teams.
That is a good answer.
Chops our betting
everybody.
Guys. Who's favored? Who are we laying action on?
That's right.
I wonder who the favorite is here. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you very much.
Mayor Kane with us here.
Or Pete.
Here's Sean and RJ as we are out Firehouse Tour. Sean and RJ 2025, stop number 2. We are in Anna 305 South Powell Parkway. Come on by. Whataburger breakfast. I believe we still have a little bit of that. We've got some other giveaways for you. So if you're in the area, even if you're not, just go ahead and make the drive out here. It is a Meet Church Wednesday. Matt Pittman will discuss being at the draft, Jalen Milroe over Shador, all things with Meet Church. That's next year on Sean and RJ.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Below the Belt, coming up on the other side.
we got a meat church Wednesday, about to catch up with Matt Pittman. But the Tolo turnout here in Anna has been absolutely incredible during the break. Just chopping it up, as we should say, with all the Tolos. Of course, we got the council members, the mayor here with us as well. A lot of shout outs to
you. Call him?
The mayor. Yeah,
mayor
my buddy Pete.
Yeah, just old Pete. No, we got plenty of shout-outs here. During the last break, I got a chance to talk to Marsha, who's from here in Anna. She said she and her husband, Floyd, listen all the time. Big fantasy football players. She said she won one year, and everybody was accusing her of getting the tips from her husband. And she's like, no, I just listen to the fan.
Okay.
And so that's what won the league for Marsha. So Marsha and Floyd and Anna. I talked to Chris from Melissa. He was out here, Air Force veteran. And then I was talking to Adrian. And Anna came from L.A. Look at that, the L.A. hat. He wears it. He taunts everybody in Anna and Melissa. He loves the community, but he wants to make sure to rub the Laker energy.
He looks like L.A.
He's got the L.A. look.
He's got the L.A. look to him.
L.A.
He's
proud.
Boy, he's it's great turnout. Glad to see everybody. I wasn't even able to make the rounds and say hi to everybody during the whole break because we were just there's so many folks out here that we're stopping down talking with, so it's a great time.
Yeah, make sure, get on over there, get that Whataburger breakfast. We still got some left. Okay, without further ado, joining us via the D&M Leasing Hotline, and of course, you can check us out on the YouTube and the Twitch. No kidding, this is quite the badass setup here.
Dude, it's so good.
Belt. Legendary. The one and only Meat Church himself, Matt Pittman, joining us here on Sean and RJ. Matt, how are you, man? How was the draft,
awesome.
Dude?
Are you guys in a fire station?
Yeah, we're in Anna, Texas right now.
Man, look at the pearl snaps. Look at that.
Look at this.
Look at that.
I got to get you guys down here. Like, look, I got room. I need.
Dude,
I need
look at that. He's got camera. He's got two shots. What is this?
Oh, well, what kind of three? We got camera one, camera two. We got a wide shot. We don't play at Meat Church.
Camera two.
This is wild.
That's awesome.
It's a great look. It's so clear. And you got all the seasoning behind you there, and creating the perfect aesthetic. I'm guessing that one of those photos there is going to be replaced by your selfie with Tyler Booker while you were in Green Bay. Talk about how thrilled you were just as a Cowboy fan to be in Green Bay for the draft, and then it's one of your Roll Tide guys, Tyler Booker.
I mean, I was super excited. So my man Brett with the Cowboys called me and said, you know, would you and your son like to go to the NFL draft? And, I mean, it was like the most amazing experience. Was hosted by Carson that works for the Cowboys there. Both those guys just first class. Everybody in Green Bay, literally the nicest fan base ever. I described it as what the opposite of a draft would be like in Philadelphia. But you guys know I'm a Bama guy, and for years I've always wondered, with Alabama playing here so often, why do we never pick Alabama players? And so when I knew Booker was an option, thanks to my friend Brian Broaddus, who had told me he might be in play. If you watch the replay, Sam and I go nuts when he's picked. The super fans around us, I don't think they really knew who he was, and so we went crazy. And most of those guys will come down to the team section, and so he comes running down, and I'll demonstrate my phone. So I had my phone in my hand, and I was like, Tyler, can I get a Roll Tide? And he takes his hand, and I had it on picture. I was going to take a selfie, and he goes, put that on video. And he hits video on my phone, and he's the one that hits the Roll Tide.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
What was really awesome was Alabama football posted that video. So, yeah, it was super exciting. I mean, such a cool experience. I'll definitely never forget it.
Was that the greatest moment? Was that, or just being able to cackle and say Jalen Milroe went ahead of Shador Sanders for all you fools who said that man's not a quarterback?
Yeah, that was kind of nuts. There was a lot of good moments. I mean, you know, I ate so many cheese curds in Green Bay that I have not been able to have a bowel movement since Thursday.
Really?
I think I got like a raisin out last night.
A raisin.
You walk through the airport and they hand you, like, there's greeters. They're like, everybody was so stoked for you to be in Green Bay. So, you know, they give us a bag of cheese curds there. And naturally, I had to buy some fried ones. And we're watching the Stars game the night before the draft in a bar. They were nice enough to let my 12-year-old sit in a bar. I'm like, I have to watch this game. You're going to have to make an exception.
It's Green Bay. They're all drinking at 12, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was, like, totally normal. I'm pretty sure they would have fed Sam cocktails had he ordered something. But, you know, pounded cheese curds the whole time and then met so many great people, like so many Meat Church people there. You know, y'all know that I wore a Dez Caudet shirt on purpose. And they showed that on camera to the crowd of 200,000 plus, which got quite the booze, which is what I was looking for. So that was pretty fun.
Are cheese curds next on your list of things you're going to try to master? Or have you already done that?
You know, they were making, they were like, hey, these were made fresh today, so I'm not going to make it, but I'm definitely going to fry it. That stuff is unbelievable. I mean, they need to put some ranch in there. They're rolling out marinara, and we need to go Texas style with them,
no,
but yeah.
Man, you got it with the cheese. Come on. With the cheese curd, you got to go with the marinara.
Oh, yeah, here comes the Italian. Yeah, I mean, I get it.
Oh, my.
Ranch is my thing, so, you know, you can inject ranch in my veins. So, and when I die, I'll be embalmed with ranch, homemade, of course.
We're talking with Matt Pittman from Meat Church here on 105.3 Fantasy. We are live from the fire station here in Anna, 305 South Powell Parkway. All right, Matt, so was that your first time going to Green Bay?
Second. My season ticket group, we always wanted to go see Favre before he was done in Green Bay, and the Cowboys weren't on the schedule back at that time. And so we opted to do Green Bay, Minnesota on a Monday night when it was cold, and so it hit all the marks. I'll never forget that. I sat next to two nuns. But that's when I was taken by the hospitality of everybody. I remember being in the restroom, and the Vikings fans and Packers fans were actually nice to each other, where, you know, here they'd be spitting on each other in the restroom. So
it's like
that's
the SEC,
my second
man.
Experience.
It's like the SEC. You know, you go to a game, and there's no trash talk.
Well, and that's exactly my point, though, of why I was curious if you'd been before, is because they are nice. The Green Bay fans are incredibly nice when you're rolling in. And if you've never been to Green Bay before, been to Lambeau, these are like, it literally looks like Garland across from a football stadium. Like, you've got houses sitting right in front of the stadium. So I think because it's a friendly environment, the next time Dallas goes to Green Bay, you should do a Meat Church grill out in one of those front yards 100%. Of the house.
Yeah, Sam and I were walking around, you know, and so many people were stopping me. I'm like, this is cool. There's all, you know, a lot of Meat Church guys here in Green Bay, but there were twice as many people at the draft as there are that live in Green Bay. I mean, we walked in a gas station, and this lady's like, are you having the best time? And she just wasn't making conversation. Like, she genuinely wanted to know if we were having a good time. So, and everybody was that way. Like, everybody. Our Uber drivers. It was nuts. So, the most welcoming place ever. And I got to tell you, these super fans that the Cowboys bring, I had to tell people I know within the team, look, I'm not a super crazy fan. I'm doing this for my son. Boy, they bring some next-level people up there. And you recognize most of them from TV. Most of them are super sweet. That was a trip, but and entertaining, amazing, to say the least. I'm actually not supposed to be here. I'm still in the concussion protocol. That wrecking ball guy caught me with a siren. You know, he, like, turned and
man,
we were trying to take a picture.
Man, I was going to say, yeah. He got me one time. It's got
to
go.
I saw you standing next to Megamind there. Yeah, I noticed that. That was the first thing I noticed.
The siren's got to go. The siren's dangerous.
He could play in the NBA. He boxed Sam out when Booker came over, like a pro move. He definitely is about being seen on TV, number one, and mission accomplished. But, yeah, you got to be careful. It's like when you take a picture with a guy with a cowboy hat, you can't just get next to him. Like, I got popped with that siren in the cheek three times. But luckily, my man Britt that works for the Cowboys, he's taught me to be old school. And I'm not 100%, but I'm back because I'm bringing it for the fans.
There we go,
just
baby.
You guys to know.
There we go.
So the crawfish boil. I know Brian was super pumped. He was exchanging secrets with you. What did he wisdom did he impart on you that now you've put into the crawfish boil? And what was it like? Not only with the Cowboys, that video was incredible. But were you crawfish boiling it up for Mike Trout and the Angels?
Yeah. So I boiled this weekend. We had a little pre-party for we had our annual block party Saturday, and I was trying to thank everyone coming to town. So I came home from the draft. 2 hours sleep and boiled six sacks. I was talking to Brian 2 days before about that boil, and I said, man, this will be my sixth time in 10 days to boil crawfish, so I might need to call a hotline. But I've always tell you guys, I was cooking crawfish before I started cooking barbecue. Cooking crawfish is what got me into outdoor cooking. And he and I were talking about, he said, hey, I got a new thing I learned. You got to try it. Most people put whole vegetables in their boil to flavor, which is what I do. So he said he had been taught to basically blend them up. So you take your onions, celery, garlic, whatever it is that you're putting in there. And he says, I put it in a blender, put a little water in it, you know, basically make a smoothie. So what I did was I actually poured crawfish boil in the blender instead of water just to give it additional flavor. And I ended up putting twice as much vegetables as I was typically put in a boil. So I still season the boil with crawfish boil, but I put the pureed vegetables in. And I told Brian, I mean, it's my new thing. It is so good that when you soak the crawfish, they really take on that flavor more than they otherwise would. My oldest son told me Friday night my next last batch was the best I'd ever made. So, you know, you'll take those compliments. So shout out to Brian.
That's awesome. What was up with the Angels? I mean, did you get to talk with Mike Trout? And
Did you get hurt while eating your crawfish?
He's a big Eagles fan, too. So I hope you were giving him some crap.
Well, you know, we swept them, so I thought I would, like, be nice. But, yeah, that was really interesting. I one day after cooking, for you know, when the Cowboys came back for the offseason program, I cooked for the team on Monday. The next night at 11:40 at night, I heard from my man Mason McKenna, the visiting clubhouse manager for the Rangers, and he said, odd question, could you possibly boil crawfish for Mike Trout tomorrow night? And I was like, you had me at Mike Trout. So I did it down here. I did it down here at Meat Church during the game, loaded it in a Yeti, drove up to the ballpark. It was actually kind of funny. I was getting there like near the end of the game, so the traffic was all flowing out and they weren't letting me in. So I had to get out of my truck and like move the cones, and some old man pulls up on a golf cart and is like, you can't come this way. And I said, I'm feeding the Angels. I need to go. And he said, well, you can see if they'll let you in. I'm like, all right, I'll take my chances.
I'll take my chances. So,
yeah. Pulled up to the clubhouse, and, you know, this was interesting. So I did a spread on the table, and normally, you know, you're having like a party, you're having beers and like having a good time around crawfish. Well, they got swept. It was like I was watching a funeral. Like they were just like quiet. No. They were eating them. He did say they were fire, really liked them. I didn't put it on social media. I didn't take a picture with him or anything like that, but, you know, they weren't happy about losing all those games. But it was really cool to be able to do that for somebody on the West Coast and somebody with the name as big as Mike Trout.
Dude, what are you doing this weekend at the Lone Star?
Yeah, Lone Star Smokeout at AT&T Stadium. So 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a music and barbecue festival. I'm really excited about it because any festival, you know, at AT&T Stadium is going to be huge. So great music. But the really cool thing for me personally is tons of great barbecue. So unlike the, well, I would say more improved over the festivals that have been there in years past, this is their first year. They have a lot of barbecue that all of us know and love. A lot of Texas Monthly Top 50 type guys. So really, really good stuff. Great music lineup like Randy Rogers, Cody Jinks, Midland, John Party. My 14-year-old daughter is stoked about Hudson Westbrook. So a lot of big names, a lot of really good food. And I'll be there introducing all the barbecue pitmasters. I'll introduce the top two bands every night. And in general, during the day, I'm just going to hang out in the barbecue area and interact with fans and talk to people and stuff like that. Probably do some social content. So it should be a ton of fun.
Matt, thank you so much, man. This has been awesome. The man, the myth, the legend, Matt Pittman himself. Love all the Meat Church content. Anything else before we let you boogie out of here?
I don't know if I've ever told you, but a fireman was the only thing I ever wanted to be. And then in the going into the eighth grade, I burned down 600 acres in Mineral Wells, Texas.
You told us that. You told us that story. Yeah, that part of the story.
So it's near. It's, you know, I love that y'all are there. These guys take care of idiots like me. So tell them thank them for what they do.
You're a better fire watcher.
Well, that's why I'm enamored with fire. You know, yeah.
He keeps the firefighters employed.
That's right.
Thank you so much, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good week.
Meat Church Wednesday. Matt Pittman with the show at 105 through the fan via the D&M Leasing Hotline. Let's do a little below the belt.
Yeah, coming up. Did the Cowboys actually improve their standing in the NFC with this weekend's draft?
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby.
Did the Dallas Cowboys improve their standing? Are they a legitimate contender after what Yahoo Sports graded an A draft?
Oh, baby.
Let's talk about it here in Below the Belt on 105 Good Fan as we are live from the Anna Fire Station here, 305 South Powell Parkway. It's been a great turnout. All the hats are gone. I believe we still have a little bit of breakfast. We have a couple giveaways, like a bobblehead or something over there. But it's been a great turnout here in Anna. Everybody's really showed up, really enjoyed it. Woo! Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
let's go. Pause.
There we go.
Hercules, yeah.
Hercules.
So real quick, I do want to shout out, since it is a Firehouse Wednesday here, Firehouse Hump Day.
Hump Day.
It's the first time we've dropped that all morning. I do want to give a shout out really quickly to somebody who has been connected to the show for quite a while. Noel Saldivar, who his daughter, he used to record her in the back seat on the way to school, and he'd send you guys the clips, and you guys would play them on the air 12 years ago. And then the very first Firehouse stop we went to, you remember they came out there, and Sean nearly like cried from realizing how old he was when he realized
was that DeSoto?
Yeah,
was that our first one?
When he realized, or Grand Prairie. When he realized that that little girl that used to record stuff was going off to college. But Noel Saldivar reached out the other day and said he's actually retiring today after 30 years.
Congratulations.
With the Richardson Fire Department.
Congratulations, sir.
So shout out to him. And, you know, it's he said that the fan has been so prominent in his life for the last decade. He wanted to let us know that he was wrapping things up and done. So shout out to Noel and happy retirement. And then shout out also, as we're here on the Firehouse Tour, to our partners there, our wonderful partners. We already mentioned Whataburger, Fraser Roofs and Gutters is out here. They've been handing stuff out. They got these great shirts that I got from Kyle there at Fraser Roofs and Gutters, and also the folks at Firehouse Movers. All right, let's take a look at where the Cowboys are at after the draft. So I have said pretty consistently that I thought going into the draft, what they had done with free agency and everything else, I still thought this was a 7-win team before the draft. And I was like, that's not committing to absolutely anything, though, because you can get an impact player at 12. There's no telling who falls to you, what other options you might be able to have. They can absolutely change the dynamic of their team. Heading into the draft, I'm curious from Chop, Zach, and I'll start with you, Chop. The Cowboys, what, just ballparking, what kind of a team did you think they were? Was this a 10-win team heading into the draft? I know you've said before, you just, like, when they ran through that run of 12-win seasons, you're like, I expect they're going to be a 12-win team, basically. And when they're not, it's because of injuries. So do you still look at them similarly? Or heading into draft week, did you say, no, they've got problems that they need to clean up otherwise?
They're probably lower than 12, right?
Like 500-ish?
No, I don't think you can do 500 in a 17-game season.
I said ish.
I think that they're generally, when you have a good quarterback, and they still have a good quarterback, assuming health, they're still a 10-win team.
Zach, where did you have him heading into the draft?
Yeah, I mean, 9-10 wins. As long as Dak has been healthy, they haven't been a losing team.
Right.
So I agree. I still think that, you know, this year, when you look at the schedule, and you never know year to year how that goes.
Tough schedule now.
But it should be. I mean, it's projecting like it's going to be a tough schedule. So I think the defense was a question mark for me. What would they do to improve the defensive front? And how would the run game look, right? So I still think you got some roster holes, but going into the draft, I was feeling probably about 10 wins, and I kind of feel the same post-draft.
And let's look at, as you come out of the draft now, and we're getting some of these power rankings from outlets that look at where the Cowboys at now that they've actually added to their roster in a significant way when free agency hadn't really done that. I said, going into it, I thought they were a 7-win team. I think definitively the Tyler Booker acquisition makes an impact right away, and they're a better football team today because of Tyler Booker. I think that if Revelle is playing consistently, he's still got some rawness to him. Mm-hmm. He's not the most sound technician at corner, but he's got all the height, weight, speed stuff you want. He's very aggressive in going after the ball in run support and after the catch. He's going to make sure that, all right, I'm going to attack this as physically as I can and make a play on the ball. So I think that they got real contributors. I think Jaden Blue genuinely contributes. I think right now, as we wait on a wide receiver too, and see where that goes, I think they've bumped up a little. I think they're maybe an 8 or 9 win team right now. If they get a legitimate wide receiver too, I think now you're looking at, okay, that's a 10 win team, probably a playoff team, and depending on a few breaks going your way, you could be more.
Vegas moved their over under 7.5 right after the free agency.
What were they at before that? You said Vegas had them at move them up or down to 7? Down after free agency?
Down after free agency.
Okay.
I talked to my handicapper buddy, Bo, and he said right now they're favored in one game.
Wow.
And that's home to the Giants.
Wow.
They are a pick'em in 4-5. Now, the market will change that, and he suspects that all 4 or 5 of those, they will be favored in.
Okay.
You're looking at Chicago, Arizona, right, because they play the West.
Yes.
They play the AFC West.
They play the AFC West, NFC North.
So Chicago.
As difficult as you can get in both.
Right. Sure. So they'll be favored over Chicago. They'll be favored probably over the Raiders. But right now, they had him as a pick because it might be in Vegas. I don't know. So you're going to see the Cowboys be favored in 5 games at some point, at least going into the season. And things will change as teams progress. Minnesota might get off to an 0-3 start.
Sure.
And the Cowboys play them, and they've got a rookie quarterback, and you know, and all of a sudden the Cowboys are favored. We don't know how it's going to work.
Yeah, and I will say that heading into 21, after they in 2020 were 6-10, Dak got hurt. Even before Dak got hurt, their defense was awful. There was a thought heading into 21, like, oh, is this a team on the brink? And then they won 12 games, and they started out that season on absolute fire. That was when Diggs was, you know, getting all those interceptions at the beginning of the season. They started out whatever they were 7-1, or whatever it was, and then Dak had the calf issue. But a draft can flip you like that, where you got the CD and Diggs jump that they got, and then you got Micah drafted and Micah contributing right away. And then early on, you were getting contributions from Osa Odighizuwa and Chauncey Golston. So I think that a draft can flip you pretty quickly. And when you look at this draft the Cowboys made, I think it has the chance to flip them pretty quickly. Now, what do the analysts have to say about it? Before the draft, Eric Edholm over at NFL.com had done power rankings. He had the Cowboys 22nd in the NFL, so just outside the bottom 10. He moved them up, but he moved them up to 20. Just barely. This was his write-up. He said, in a vacuum, the first three picks really made a lot of sense. Tyler Booker continued the offensive line bolstering, while Dallas snagged Donovan Ezeraku and Savone Revelle. I got to stop and read it every time. How do I say it? Below where I thought they might be picked. Even a few of the day three selections have a chance to stick in what was a typically sound draft haul. That said, I have questions. Who is helping CeeDee Lamb out? What is the running back pecking order? Will Micah Parsons be happy and rich? Will he be a happy and rich man soon? The Cowboys might not be able to eliminate every concern before August, but they're foundationally solid. Will that matter in a suddenly fearsome NFC East with the Eagles and Commanders having just faced off in the conference title game? That remains to be seen in head coach Brian Schottenheimer's first season. I will say that my one concern about the types of receivers that when we talked to Nick Harris at 7:20 from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, the names that he's mentioning, I like Amari Cooper, but
old. They're old.
Amari Cooper, Robert Woods, Keenan Allen, Nelson Agholor. It's like, those are all guys who are past their peak.
Oh, yeah.
Considerably.
And that means that A, decline of skill, but B, probably the injuries are more.
Especially for a guy like Coop, who has always been banged up.
They're just going to happen more. The more you get old, the older you get, the more your injuries happen. I mean, just ask Zach. He's about to pull a dummy.
Stick around for that next segment. He's about to pull a dummy here,
a 200-pound dummy. They asked me if I wanted to do it. I'm like, you know what? I've done enough of these. I do one at every fire stop. I think it's Zach's turn.
You have, but that's also tradition, you know? Now, I will say, as you can hear, he's going to be wind-aided.
Yeah.
And so he might be able to pull it.
Wind-aided? That's going to help me pull
it? Well, they mark that in track and field, like when you have a wind-aided sprint. I think that matters here, too. They just open up those.
Sprint.
Yeah, you'd be fine, I think.
I got to drag it.
Besides, I can't pull a dummy. I pull myself every day. I'm a dummy. I can't pull two dummies at once.
Man, this is going to be awful.
I will say, though, that I think the concern with that wide receiver, too, is are any of those guys right now, I'll ask you this for a sec, Amari Cooper, the way he is now, Keenan Allen, Robert Woods, Nelson Agholor, are any of those guys even what Brandon Cooks was when you traded for him 2 years ago?
No, Woods off the market as well. He just signed with the Steelers.
Great.
But no, I don't think so.
So that's a problem. Yeah. If you're
and Cooks was already in decline when the Cowboys got him.
Yeah, I was going to say, Cooks didn't even make the difference that they wanted him to. Now, I don't think they always used Brandon Cooks the way that he was supposed to.
Agreed.
But if you're telling me that impact that Brandon Cooks got you, your solution at wide receiver two is somebody below that?
Yeah.
Okay, now we've got a problem. I didn't want them to just draft a receiver to draft receivers. We talked about with Nick Harris, their draft grades were at a point where Booker's clearly above the other receivers we have here. You know, Ezeraku's clearly above the other. We're going to be really reaching if we do this right now. And so I don't blame them for the strategy overall. It's just now you look at it and go, okay, but now you've got to – it's time to man up and go make a serious investment. You cannot roll Jonathan Mingo and Amari Cooper out there and just say that it's fixed. Now, does Amari Cooper come in here and dip into the fountain of youth a little bit or come in here motivated? That'd be great. He's probably your best option. I think he's the youngest one. He's still 30, but that's an old 30. That's a guy who's gotten –
It is.
Yeah.
He was young when he came in the league, right?
Yeah, he was 20 years old when he got drafted.
Yes. There's some that feel like he's washed.
I think if you're getting a player at a position that isn't maybe O-line or quarterback, and you're getting them beyond year 8 in the league, I think you're just asking for trouble.
Man.
Yeah.
Offensive line, you can get away with it, right? You can get away with it on the O-line, and you can get away with it at quarterback. Other than that, if you've been in the league beyond 8 years, I think you're asking for trouble.
All right, another great edition of B-Low.
The Belt.
I'm going to attempt to not embarrass myself while absolutely embarrassing myself and trying to drag this dummy. Thank you so much, Bobby.
You've dragged a body before. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, baby.
This is, it's been a while, man. It's been at least 10 years since that Papacito's trip. We'll also get into around the NFL, what Brandon Bean had to say, Eli Rick shooting his shot, George Kittle, congratulations. That and more, Sean and RJ coming up next as the Firehouse Tour continues from Anna.
After we get you over to Platinum Chrysler Dodge Ram Jeep, it is, of course, the Stephen Gilchrist-owned store, Gilchrist Automotive, hooking you up on that brand-new Chrysler Dodge Ram or Jeep. PlatinumCDRJTexas.com. It is Ram Truck Month right between I-20 and Highway 80. It's worth the short drive to Terrell to save a lot more. Go see Scott Millsap. He's a tall, he's a good dude, man. Tell me what that Ram truck. I'm a proud Platinum customer. You get a 2025 Ram 1500 Laramie. You can lease it for less than $600 a month for 42 months. You want to buy it outright? 1.9% for 72 months on all trim levels of the Ram 1500 2025 model. But hey, it's also a Jeep celebration event, and you can get the Wrangler Sport, lease that for less than $350 a month for 42 months. The Wagoneer EV-S on the 2025, 1.9% for 72 months. On a 2024, 0%. 0% for 72 months. The Grand Cherokee L, save almost 11 grand of MSRP. It's yours for under $42,000. Platinum CDRJ, Texas.com to customize it or drive a little further to save a lot more at Platinum Chrysler Dodge Ram Jeep.